You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. From Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch to Robbie Reyes, Alejandra, and more, this is the best place for news, reviews, and discussion. And now, here is your host on this fiery road to hell, Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, Flameheads, to the newest episode of Inner Demons, the Ghost Rider podcast. It's episode 54 of the show, and we're going to be having some really great stuff to talk about tonight. So first up, we have Ghost Rider Kane Black by Ed Brisson, which is the Venom tie-in. Also, it's sort of like the little finale to Ed Brisson's Ghost Rider run, tying up some of the loose ends there. We have Savage Avengers 21, which has Conan the Barbarian meeting the Ghost Rider. We have Ghost Rider 15 and 16 from Daniel Way, which is, when Ghost Rider is battling Satan, trying to get him back to hell. And last but not least, we have Ghost Rider number 19 from the 1970s. So we have a fully stacked episode for you guys tonight. First up, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with the news. We have some pretty big news going on. Obviously, we still have the Ghost Rider 50th anniversary contest that's happening right now. Basically, if you can write us a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or whatever else you're listening to, you can put a hashtag GR50, and once we get that five-star review, you can send it to us on Twitter at InnerDemonsGR. And what happens is, once that gets sent to us, you send it like a picture of it, you get entered into a contest. We are giving away the first 50 issues 1990s Ghost Rider that was graciously donated to us by Michael Philbrick, who's also at SOV Collector on Twitter. He also has an Instagram account. Check out his stuff. He's an amazing Ghost Rider fan. He's a good friend of the show, and he wanted us to have something to give away to the fans. So that is something that we're doing. So thank you again, Michael, for that huge donation. But once again, like I said, if you want to enter that contest, it is simply just go to your favorite podcast catcher and write us a five-star review. That helps us to get some more listens in the feed, because the more reviews we have, the better it is, easier for us to be found. In the past few weeks, I've hit up a lot of folks to say, yeah, we're looking for some of these reviews, and then people saying, oh my God, I didn't even know you guys were around doing a Ghost Rider show. So, you know, we've been around almost 5 years, but still people are finding out about us now. So just get the word out, and it really helps us out so, so much. And for that, we thank you. We have the official Wheels on Fire book that Chris Munn, my former co-host, wrote. That is actually, it's all about Johnny Blaze, and it reviews in detail every issue of the 1970s, 80s era of the character, as well as the interviews with J.M. DeMatteis and so many other great things going on there. However, it is now on Kindle. So for folks who are asking about how to get a copy of the book, if they didn't want to get it in print, they can get it on Kindle as well. So that is, you can find that online. Check it out for sure. There's been some talk about Ghost Rider in the MCU, which is nothing new. We always hear about that. Whether or not he's going to be showing up in a Marvel show on Disney Plus, whether he's going to be on in the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness movie. Any of these moments, he could actually appear as a character. And then they would have to determine which one they're going to go with. There's a lot of talk of whether they're going to go back to Johnny Blaze again, because, you know, even though he's the most longest-running character for the Ghost Rider, he's the most well-known. So people might be going back to that well once more. There's some talk about bringing in Alejandra first. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep our eyes on in terms of whether Ghost Rider appears in the MCU. Personally speaking, I'd love to see him in the Doctor Strange film as sort of a backdoor pilot or sort of a cameo to introduce a much larger Midnight Suns type of team-up story moving forward. It's tough, though, with Ghost Rider because, A, the special effects are so expensive, and it's hard to do. They did a fantastic job with Robbie Reyes on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him back in the fold as well, but it has to be the right venue. Obviously, the Hulu show didn't go forward. There's some creative differences in there. But, we just want justice to be done for the character. It's the 50th anniversary coming up in 2022. So we're very excited to see what Marvel has in store. Perhaps a new book. We don't know, but we'll definitely just see how it all plays out. The other big thing that's been announced is it's actually going to be a novel coming out in November of 2021 by author Carrie Harris. It is called Witches Unleashed, which at first glance, it might not seem like it has anything to do with the Spirit of Vengeance, but it really does. It's a Marvel Untold novel. It's about three extraordinary supernatural heroes joining forces with the Ghost Rider to capture Lucifer himself and return him to hell in this staggering superhero adventure from Marvel Untold. So the description from that is, Johnny Blaze, the Ghost Rider, has accidentally released Lucifer from hell, and that's a serious problem. While hunting down fragments of Lucifer's soul, Blaze enlists the help of witches Jennifer Kale, Satana Hellstrom, and Topaz to hunt down a fragment that has animated the body of Jennifer's cousin Magda. Lucifer is hunting for the tome of Zaradna, which the witches protect, and if he gets hold of it all hell will be unleashed upon the world. Now the witches must work together and with Johnny Blaze if they're going to stop him. But that will mean putting some personal demons aside and trusting each other this time. So that's a very exciting thing. We actually reached out to author Carrie Harris online. She's, first of all, she's a fantastic person to follow. She's a diehard fan of a lot of this Marvel stuff, especially the Spirit of Vengeance. At Twitter, she's at Carhar, C-A-R-R-H-A-R-R. She's really fantastic to talk to, and she actually sent us in some comments about the book. I asked her if there's anything she could reveal at this early time, and she said this. She says, yeah, I can't share a ton just yet, but here's a brief quote and a link for some more info. I came from a family of Harley riders and motorcycle mechanics, so Johnny Blaze has always been one of my favorite characters. I can't wait to share this book with my fellow flameheads. If you're like me and you like to read the comics before you see the movie or read the book, I strongly suggest checking out the Vicious Cycle storyline in the comics and the Witches Limited series. And yes, the book is out November 2nd in the US and ebook on December 9th in the UK. The full blurb and a bunch of pre-order links are here at aconitebooks.com/shop/witchesunleashed. So definitely check that out. It's going to be... that's an exciting thing. We haven't really had that kind of a book be released about Ghost Rider in the last ever, really. So I'm looking forward to it to see what it's all about. And Carrie is a great person to talk to online. She's a diehard fan, so definitely check it out. It's not like someone they just grabbed to write the story with no knowledge of this stuff. Definitely looking forward to that as well. So let's take a short break, and then we'll get right into the reviews on tonight's episode. I know you're all chomping the bit to hear about it, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honoring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. Want to learn more about the Fist of Khonshu in comics? You got it. We review all current and classic runs from Mensch to Houston to Lemire. Want to know where else to find the Avatar of Vengeance? Glad you asked. We also review action figures, video games, animation, TV, anything and anywhere Moon Knight is featured, we've got it covered. All this along with any latest news which may feature our White Knight, week in or week out. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
All right, Flameheads, welcome back to the show. Next up is the Ghost Rider King in Black one-shot by Ed Brisson and Juan Fregeri. After the events of Ghost Rider issue 7, King Blaze is about to drag Mephisto on his quest to stop Lilith when he stumbles upon another Marvel crossover event. I mean, he stumbles upon a symbiote dragon terrorizing New York City. Blaze decides to help out with the King of Lies in tow. Meanwhile, demons are gathering nearby to free Mephisto. It's a real cluster and definitely a bad night to visit Manhattan. The dragon is giving Blaze a challenge when Dan Ketch, now known as the Death Rider, comes in and lops off the dragon's head with the Blight Blade. Ketch is flanked by Caretaker and, surprisingly, Blackheart, who has coerced Ketch to help retrieve Mephisto in exchange for freeing Stacey Dolan and Emma, who are attacked and held captive in Ghost Rider Issue 7. Mephisto makes a break for it and is almost killed by his symbiote soldiers. The gang fights them off, and Blaze activates the Damnation Stare, removing the symbiotes off of the demons. Blackheart sacrifices a loyal demon and opens up a gateway to hell. Blaze refuses to release him, but is convinced that it is the lesser of two evils. The gang then fights to protect New York City from the symbiotes. Emma and Stacy come to and go home safely after their large ordeal. Stacy warns Emma that if she wants to be safe moving forward, to stay the heck away from Danny Ketch. Lastly, Mephisto smiles about his freedom and is delighted that he stole his own symbiote for later. And that's where this issue ends. Alright guys, so this one is simultaneously a send-off for Ed Brisson's storyline, but it feels like a somewhat shoehorned tie-in to the Venom book, the King in Black series. But I also see it as kind of an apology to fans who weren't happy for the way things ended and were really looking for more. So let's talk a little bit about this issue, the Ghost Rider King in Black series. I mean, originally it was going to be slated to be there's going to be an Empire tie-in involving Danny Ketch and even the prior Vengeance Spirit Kowalski battling together or battling against some of the monsters in the Empire series. But the way this whole thing has went down in terms of the book's cancellation and then just trying to get a somewhat finale out there, it looks like it's got kicked down the road a bit, so now this got added to the King in Black series. I don't think this is an essential King in Black tie-in if you are a diehard Venom fan and want to read all that stuff. However, if you are a Ghost Rider fan, if you enjoy the Ed Brisson run as much as we did here at the show, this is an essential wrap-up to Ed Brisson's series. It gives some form of closure, and it's the best we're going to get at the moment until they can announce something in the future. So much respect to Ed, Juan Fregeri and company for giving Ghost Rider fans this small bit of closure when we are really used to having no closure at all, except for maybe that Blaze final issue in 1983. That's really one of the last times we're able to really get a nice send-off for the character. So often, things get canceled right at the last second, right before something really moves forward, almost before like an issue 100 or something like that. And it's a real shame, but at the very least, this is a little bit of closure and kind of ties things up in a bow for the next writer to pick up. I haven't kept up with the King in Black series, but you don't really need to as it just stands on its own. It's basically a prolonged battle sequence with a little bit of banter from Blaze and Mephisto. We learn more about Danny Ketch's status quo, how he's calling himself the Death Rider now. And I could see why they're kind of rebrand him that, but the only thing that frustrates me about that element is that it seems like moving forward that he's going to be in that role for a while. I was hoping going back that he was going to be much more of a, someone who was taking on that Necrosis role temporarily until he can become a Ghost Rider again. But there's only so much that they can do with that, so he's going to be Death Rider for now. It seems like Blaze kind of gave him a little bit of a hard time there. He's like, oh, Death Rider, really, huh? So it's just one of those things where you got to go with it. All the characterizations and motivations, they feel very clear in this. There's a lot of betrayals and a lot of little backstabbing moments in this thing. Mephisto is always trying to get away and make the most of it. So, I mean, all these kind of character moments work for me in this story. It's not like a revolutionary story, but like I said, this is really, I'm glad we got this at all as kind of a nice little send-off. Since the main series was ended, they've kind of been drip-feeding some of these releases for us fans. We've had the annual was canceled and issue 8 and 9 were canceled, even though we were teased what it was going to be about. But we're getting a little bit of we've got the Vengeance one shot. We got a little bit of here and there. Some of the stories were told in other ways. So at the very least, we got to be a little bit grateful for that, but it's always frustrating because, I get the solicitations every month from Marvel, and there's so many books that go on for 30, 40, 50 issues. And I'm a Marvel fan, but I've never heard of some of these books. I've never read some of those books, and it's just frustrating that all these books are getting such a huge opportunity, yet Ghost Rider is cut off at the knees all the time. So this isn't sour grapes. It's just one of those things where, you know, moving forward towards that 50th anniversary, if Marvel cares about some of their longtime fans for the supernatural side of it, I would hope that they would have given this last series and ones before it as well a chance. So many of the last bunch of issues between the Robbie Reyes runs and even the Alejandro run, all these runs lasted less than 12 issues, which is frustrating because, like I said, you hear all these other great comics coming out, and I'm sure they're fantastic comics, but you have issue 34, issue 58. It's astounding because Ghost Rider fans are so patient, I think, and such a great fan community that we've met through the show. It'd be really great and fantastic if they gave us a little bit of a nice story for the Ghost Rider. But like I said, beggars can't be choosers. We got to go how it is. But, you know, hey, now's the time. They should strike while the iron's hot. There's a lot of stuff going forward with Doctor Strange's film and the storylines. They could do some Midnight Suns things. But, you know, as it is, it seems they are going to be using Ghost Rider throughout the year and several other tie-ins, like Savage Avengers, which we'll be talking about later in the show. So like I said, it still hurts. It still stings for a fan thinking about the end of Ghost Rider 7 from with Ed Brisson and just how things were being teed off for such a large epic storyline just to be completely canceled. So, I mean, it still hurts. I go back to it. I sound like a broken record, but it's just very frustrating. Going back to this issue, though, you know, about the motivations and stuff like that. We have Blaze. He's reluctant, but he has courageous heroism. He's trying to get Mephisto back, but he also sees there's a lot of danger in New York. He sees all these symbiote dragons attacking, and he realizes that he's got to do something about it. You know, that's a nice characterization because I've heard some other heroes in recent issues of their own series not being represented in a positive light, you know, like giving up on their powers and being, I don't really belong anyway. And it's this weird kind of turn in Marvel where, you know, some of their longtime heroes, DC as well, they're no longer heroic because it's such a focus on them being flawed that, you know, they lose their heroism. And that's why we read to begin with, I think, you know. That's why we read superhero comics to begin with, but anyway, in terms of motivations, we have Danny Ketch. He has, you know, his rationale with the new Uneasy Alliance with Blackheart and sorrow for letting Blaze down earlier on in that series when Blaze really needed help, and that's where kind of their conflict came. He was saying, I don't want to deal with you, get out of my life kind of thing. That's always that sibling rivalry they've always sort of had. And yeah, then of course, Mephisto is sneaky and antagonistic. You have Blackheart doing his thing, of course. You know, I'm surprised to see Blackheart's role in this. He's been such an antagonist over the years, thinking back to Hearts of Darkness and all that kind of stuff. But seeing him, yes, he kidnaps Ketch's friends, but he seems much more willing to lend a hand to this one than in past times. So I know he has his own agenda, but still, you know, that was kind of surprising. So overall, this is an important issue to the Ghost Rider run and probably should be included in any future Brisson complete Ghost Rider omnibuses, you know, or releases. It's definitely should be that final book that ties into the story. So it should be like Ghost Rider 7 and then this as well. But, you know, as it is, the art is stellar as usual. Juan Fragueri is killing it with the art. Not to take anything away from Aaron Cooter, but Fragueri was just born to draw this character. Just like Javier Salteras and Tex and Budiansky, some guys are just born to draw the Ghost Rider, and the expressions are so great. There's a terrific scene with Blaze's reflection on Ketch's helmet that I missed the first time through when I read it. There's the Stairway to Hell, and the demonic forces that they encounter are equally creepy throughout. You know, see all the faces on the wall of the hell portal. Very creepy stuff, you know, and if you don't really look for some of the detail, you miss it sometimes. But so really fantastic, stellar work there. So like I said, Ed uses this issue to unabashedly tie up as much as possible. He's got that line at the end where Danny Ketch is saying, hey, listen, this is, you know, this isn't the end we all wanted, but this is the best we got kind of thing. So, you know, that's really speaking right to the reader, you know. So that's how I see that as one of the things that isn't as good about this comic is that it, I think it would be hard for a new reader to follow, especially if you were coming from just the Venom side of it and not really into what's happening with Ghost Rider. There's so much context that you need for this Ghost Rider end of it that if you were just collecting all the King and Black tie-ins, you might be going, what the hell's going on? It's a little confusing. You know, Stan Lee famously said every issue should be someone's first issue or could be someone's first issue, and this this doesn't do as much of a good job as saying, okay, this is the world, and go. There's already a lot of baggage tied into this story, but, you know, from my point of view, I'm already invested in what's happening. It didn't bother me as much, but I'm trying to see myself as, what if I was a new reader? I wouldn't want this to be the first issue, because there's just so much going on. So basically, you know, this whole book, I thought, it's not a perfect issue, but I'm so happy it came out that they were able to tie this into an ongoing series, even the Venom series. So I'm going to give it 4.5 Flaming Skulls out of 5. Highly recommended for fans of Ghost Rider, especially if you were into the Ghost Rider run by Ed Brisson. So definitely check it out, guys. All right, gang. Moving on to Savage Avengers issue 21 by Jerry Duggan, Pat Zercher, and covered by good buddy and friend of the show, Valerio Gian Giordano. Conan the Barbarian awakens from a nightmare, battling Kulan Goth, the Dark Sorcerer, the new lord of the Hellfire Club's mansion. However, Conan is greeted by Emma Frost, the White Queen, who says that he can stay in the home until he kills this poorly behaved wizard. Conan roams the night streets of New York City when he sees a man fall to his death while shouting a warning to Conan, saying, "He comes." Conan senses that Kulan Goth is causing murder and mayhem from this apartment complex and rushes in to stop him. He wakes the residents so they don't succumb as well. Suddenly, a chain wraps around his neck and he is pulled out a window by none other than Johnny Blaze, the Ghost Rider. Mistakenly thinking Conan is in league with Kulan Goth, a battle ensues and the Spirit of Vengeance is drawn to the evil stench on Conan, but the Ghost Rider cannot help himself. Conan claims to have witnessed a mysterious undead warrior riding a giant arachnid in his homeland and original timeline. The battle continues. Ghost Rider is stabbed and attempts the penance stare twice, but Conan gouges his eyes, unleashing a strange event that sends him all the way back to Aquilonia, his home. And that's where this issue ends. Alright, so first off, I apologize if I ever say the phrase Conan, as in Conan O'Brien, when I'm trying to talk about Conan the Barbarian. It's been ages since I read a Conan the Barbarian story. So if I say Conan, you know what I'm trying to say. Conan and Ghost Rider are together at last. This almost seems like something that, you know, should be a long time coming. The fact that both characters, especially the Ghost Rider, can be imagined in all these other scenarios in a fantasy realm of sword and sorcery, seeing Conan and Ghost Rider meet up is almost like something that you would do with, you know, if you had some action figures or a fan story growing up, you'd want to mash these two together, say, what if these characters met up and started kicking butt together, kind of thing. So the fact that Jerry Duggan took this storyline and he added Ghost Rider to it was fantastic. I really appreciate it, especially considering what happened with Ghost Rider series. It's nice to see him back in the fold. The Ghost Rider battle itself is appropriately epic, and the art is generally pretty good, but I gotta say the Ghost Rider itself is phenomenal. I was wowed. Very, very good characterization from Conan the Barbarian itself. So, I mean, that's high marks. Like I said, the art is pretty good, but it's seeing the version of Ghost Rider they drew in this was so well. It was so great. Not only that, guys, but, you know, I was talking to David Fim from Signal of Doom, a collective member and good friend of the show, and I was talking to him about the fact that Johnny Blaze shows up. This is post-King in Black, and he's dressed like he was in the 70s. He has kind of the stripes on his shirt, the leathers, the road leathers, but he's not wearing the spikes. He's not wearing the gray pants with the chain. That doesn't mean he can't use a chain, but this is an important thing, guys. I see this as a small step in the right direction. For many, many years, Johnny Blaze they've taken his character and they've mashed his look together with Danny Ketch. Pretty much since about 2001 or maybe 2006 era, they really kind of mashed those two characters together. You're taking the look of the Spirit of Vengeance, which is the most popular, arguably was the Danny Ketch era, and then Johnny Blaze, which is more the well-known host. You mash them together, and unfortunately, I have always said in the show that that does a disservice to both characters. It takes something away from Ketch, it takes something away from Blaze. The fact that Blaze is wearing his old road leathers is a small touch, but is a welcome change, because if they were to do something with Danny Ketch once more, take the Death Rider moniker off of him, have him be a true Spirit of Vengeance, they can very easily make him look like he used to in the 90s, which I know would be a welcome change for many, many fans of the Spirit of Vengeance, especially those diehard Ghost Rider fans. A lot of our listeners of the show grew up in the 90s, followed the series back then when the character was the most popular, and now that doesn't take anything away from Johnny Blaze. It doesn't water him down, nothing like that at all. You now have a distinct character with a different look. So, I mean, this is crazy. It probably sounds like I'm nuts talking about minor changes to his appearance, but if anything at all that Ed Brisson brought to the character, beside all the things he was teeing off that got canceled, it seems like he was really trying to get it back to wearing his older outfit again, and getting back to the original intention, which I think is just, it works so well. It's not anachronistic. Having him wear the road leathers is iconic, especially moving towards the big anniversary next year. I just think it's kind of a small thing, but to this longtime fan, warms my heart, you know. So just seeing that was really, really fantastic. So talking about the art, I thought the art was fantastic, like I said. And it's the moon in New York City, speaking of the art, has kind of a spider face. And I thought that, you know, I missed it the first time rereading it. You see kind of the Arachnid's face in the moon. That's a very nice touch. The undead warrior on the spider is very cool, if not a little over the top. I know some fans complain about, okay, how many more things are you going to put the Ghost Rider on? Over the top animals. You have a flaming mastodon, you have a flaming shark, you got all these T-Rex things. Now, some of that stuff is great, but a lot of fans would go, all right, this is getting a little ridiculous. What's next? Kind of thing. And I totally understand that. That's, you know, for many years, it was Johnny Blaze on a bike, and that's it, you know, or Carter Slade on a horse, and that was it. And now you have him riding, you know, dinosaurs and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. So, you know, I'm open to that stuff, because I just like, if they can do an Elseworlds kind of a story well, an alternate story, a what-if thing, I'm totally fine with it, as long as it's done well. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not against the 1 million BC Ghost Rider that they introduced in Jason Aaron's run. I'm against the fact that they had to retcon some of the origins yet again, so now we have about 15 origins for Ghost Rider, whether he's demonic, he's angelic, he's a caveman, you know, with a deal with Mephisto, is it Satan? Who the hell knows? So that's just one of the long time things that people have to deal with as fans of Spirit of Vengeance. Just the ever changing origins. So all that being said, you know, the spider thing, it's over the top, but it's cool. Seeing a Ghost Rider atop this giant arachnid tearing people apart, and seeing Conan be like, this is interesting. And even Conan kind of looks like he's a little apprehensive to jump in there and to battle this. I mean, it wasn't his fight. You know, he got paid anyway for taking out those guys, so he just kept the coin. But what would have happened if Conan took on that Ghost Rider? Maybe we'll find out in the next issue. Who knows? Obviously, I'm a new reader to this run. The overarching story with Kulan Goth and the other Savage Avengers, I'm lost. But that's on me, because I haven't been keeping up with the storyline. So it's not as new reader friendly, just like I said about the King in Black issue. Seems like a lot of issues nowadays, they're not really made for the floppies, as they say. They're not really great for people just picking up the single issue at the store. They're made more for the trade and or the omnibus. I totally get it. I understand. I don't agree with it, you know, because I've always been excited to go in the store on the Wednesdays, grab the issue, maybe get into a new book that I haven't gotten to before. And that little blurb of the opening page doesn't usually cut it for me. You know, so unfortunately, it seems like a lot of issues nowadays are just written for that much larger trade paperback story. But, you know, I don't think it's as new reader friendly. So that would be one thing I would say against this. The layout of panels in this also I found confusing. There's a few panels that seem to be a little bit misaligned, maybe like of the apartment scene. I didn't really understand what was happening, and I read it a few times, you know. the people were having kind of a meltdown, these nightmares influenced by the Dark Sorcerer Kulangath, and I didn't know who was dying, who was in what window, so that was tough for me to follow. That might be on me, but you know, that could have been a lot more clear. But it's definitely forgiven in seeing how well the Ghost Rider itself is drawn in this story. You know, I had to chuckle a little bit. The poor guy, poor sap who jumps out the window, calling down to Conan, he gets out a whole lot of exposition in about 2 seconds as he's going down. You know, the poor guy plummeting to his demise, he says, he comes, blah, 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 you know. And I'm just like, okay, that's a little silly, but I could forgive that. That's okay. Overall, the issue, there's not a ton that happens in the issue. But, you know, it's a battle. It shows off the fighting skills of Conan and how strong he is and how he can really take on this supernatural weapon of mass destruction in the Ghost Rider and really take him head on and get the best of him in a lot of ways. So there might be some Ghost Rider fans that get a little pissed off at this, saying, well, what the hell? You know, it's, you know, you got the Spirit of Vengeance and you have a barbarian. However, it's not a normal barbarian, it's Conan, you know, and there'll be some Conan fans listening saying, hell yeah, like he would definitely hold his own against the Spirit of Vengeance. So he gives him the Eye Poke of Doom there, and that has been used in the past. If done right, that's one of the ways they can kind of combo break, so to speak. You can get out of that maneuver. I hate the fact that the Penance Stare never seems to hit its mark in a lot of ways nowadays. It usually gets disrupted, or he gives it to Deadpool and he laughs, and he gives it to Punisher and he laughs. I don't like that it's been nerfed a bit. I wish they could kind of hold off and do that from there. Some of our fans of the show are also professional wrestling fans, and a lot of the same complaints can be said in the pro wrestling world, because there's finishing maneuvers that a lot of the performers do, and back in the day, those maneuvers were protected, and they were used occasionally, but mainly just to end a match. And nowadays, there's false finishes, and there's things where people just do all the time, and there's really no stakes anymore, because if anybody can kick out at two at every single time, what's the point? You know what I mean? So in a weird way, you can kind of draw a parallel from the pro wrestling world to the fantastical world of Marvel, in just the fact that, you know, certain abilities just get nerfed and just be like, oh, okay, so I guess, you know, Squirrel Girl can kick out of the Penance Stare, no problem. That kind of stuff is a little frustrating. Back in the 90s, they protected it much more. When he got that on a foe, it was devastating. In the cartoons, he took down Galactus, for God's sake. And it's just really stunning that, you know, the power that it was. Now it's kind of nerfed a bit. So that's frustrating to me. Overall, it's not a bad issue. I'm definitely interested to see what some of our listeners feel about this one. It's middle of the road for me, mostly with the merits of the art, and to see what happens moving forward with this this alternate Spirit of Vengeance from another realm, really. So I'm going to give it 3 Flaming Skulls out of 5 for Savage Avengers issue 21. All right, gang, next up we have Ghost Rider issues 15 and 16. From 2007, by Daniel Way, artist Javier Salteras and Mark Teixeira, Ghost Rider Legends, and Dan Brown is for colors. We're going to take this sort of as a side-by-side story, so I'm going to read through the synopsis for both first, and then we'll break it down one by one. First up is 15. We have, you know, to Darlene's mother's surprise, Darlene reveals that she has become heavily pregnant overnight. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Geoduck's new owner, the badly scarred Jack Daniels, holds a press conference to announce that the next game will be free entry to the public. In their hotel room, Dixie has just agreed to aid Johnny Blaze against Lucifer, though he has yet to tell her how. Watching Daniels' announcement on TV, Johnny recognizes him as a Lucifer avatar from the airport confrontation earlier in the series. Quickly dressing, Johnny rides off, telling Dixie to stay at the hotel and promising to call her with instructions later on. Though she protests, he doesn't even own a phone. Around the same time, Darlene goes into labor, giving birth in minutes with a pair of angelic babies. Back in Buffalo, New York, Daniels joyfully contemplates the results of his offer, an entire stadium packed with families watching the game, which he will then blow up, causing hundreds and hundreds of deaths. On a traffic-snarled freeway, Blaze turns into the Ghost Rider in order to steal a cell phone from an obnoxious commuter so that he can call Dixie later. With her children already having grown into toddlers, Darlene borrows her mother's car to drive them into town on the next stage of their mission. Reaching Daniels' office, Ghost Rider attacks the Avatar, but Daniel stops him, revealing that another Lucifer Avatar, a Little League coach, is holding his players hostage as insurance against the Ghost Rider's interference. And that's where that issue ends. Moving on to Ghost Rider 16, from December of 2007. After failing to intimidate the Daniels Lucifer Avatar, an enraged Ghost Rider leaves Daniels' office, with Johnny Blaze and the Spirit of Vengeance debating whether their shared mind how to rescue the Little League hostages. Spotting two more Lucifer Avatars, an elderly woman and an elderly man, watching him, Ghost Rider attacks them. Darlene and her two angelic quote-unquote children, Amiel and Vraniel, now are both fully grown, witness this explosive attack. Sending Darlene home, the two angels walk towards the battle. Lucifer's old man Avatar gets the upper hand against Ghost Rider, but the old woman Avatar destroys her fellow host using Ghost Rider's chain. And as the two angels covertly watch from a nearby vantage point, she proposes she and the Ghost Rider work together against Daniels. Meanwhile, back at the Tuckum Inn, the manager confronts Dixie, thinking she is using the premises for prostitution. When she angrily corrects him, pointing out her truck, he informs her that he has been receiving complaints over the smell emanating from the truck. After the manager leaves, unconvinced of Dixie's story, she checks the back of the truck and finds one of Lucifer's avatars. The avatar is alive, but brain dead, thanks to a gear stick that has been rammed through its skull. And that incident took place in an earlier issue of the series. And that's where this issue ends. So guys, these issues are mostly, are not really well-liked by fans. I'll start off by saying that. But let's talk a little bit about the pros and cons. The OG artists on the series kill it, as usual, with the action-based panels and compelling visuals. The expressions on the characters are really, really stunning. Saltara's and Tex are always a welcome addition to the series and actually elevate the story. Many people complain about the storyline, but seeing the OG writers, artists on the series is just a nice, it's almost like a nostalgia kick. You know, it's really great seeing them back together. The Ghost Rider looks great as usual. Really fabulous work from the series here. There's a flashback to issue 12 that took place at the airport. I'm really surprised they brought back that character from the tarmac to be this Daniels, this new owner of the football team. But, it is what it is. What is the most compelling to me about 15 is that there's the personality split. Zarathos and Blaze, they have a dialogue, and that honestly needs to return, in my opinion. Moving forward, when any writers coming onto the Ghost Rider series, something that's been sadly lacking since this era of the character, really, is that Ghost Rider has just been Blaze to 11. Same thing with Danny Ketch. You know, they don't have that alternate being they need to grapple with, much like a Bruce Banner and Hulk kind of thing. That is sorely lacking from the series, in my opinion, because you now have a confrontational dynamic between these two. This personal demon that's inside you that's always has its own agenda for vengeance, but you as the human host have to be the safety on the gun, so to speak. You have to limit that power and keep it in check, or else, you know, yes, the Ghost Rider would be unstoppable at that point without the human interference, but that power is, like I said, unchecked, the safety is off, and honestly, over the years, it's alleged that when the human host's influence is gone completely, the Spirit of Vengeance can go mad, can go crazy, can explode, all that kind of thing. Because it's just so much power unleashing this vengeance force without the human to kind of tamper that a little bit. It's not the same. But, you know, Dana Way gets a lot of criticism from fans, myself included, for his stories. They're very hit and miss. It's very up and down. It has some of my favorite issues ever of Ghost Rider that he wrote, and some of my absolute least favorite Ghost Rider issues of all time that he wrote in the series. So it's highly different. There's not one thing I can say throughout because it's up and down. And many fans say it's just down altogether. But the fact that the art is so strong during most of these issues, and there's a little bit going in there about like bringing back the Jack-O-Lantern, bringing back some stories about Blaze's time at the carnival when he was young, how he got into the occult. That's stuff that kind of really fleshes out the character. When you have Ghost Rider fighting the Hulk in World War Hulk, that's a phenomenal series series of issues. So it's very, very intermittent, the quality here with Daniel Way. But I gotta say, like I said, the best thing that he did is having that personality split, having Blaze discuss the plan with this Zarathos and going, okay, this is what we're doing. No, we're not. And it's this battle. And that just increases the dramatic tension. And I really wish they brought that back instead of having the Ghost Rider just be Blaze, you know, and just talk like Blaze. You know, I miss the speech patterns from the 90s. Call me old school, but having him talk like, you know, vengeance will be mine, blah, blah, blah. You know, it gave him a personality. Whether or not that was a good personality or not, that's debatable. But, you know, the fact that when he transformed, you knew you weren't dealing with Danny Ketch anymore. You were dealing with someone who's going to mete out vengeance and really punish you. And he's someone who's otherworldly. If it was just Danny Ketch talking, many fans in the 90s thought Danny Ketch was kind of a milquetoast, bland character. And, you know, that was maybe true for a while. And he really developed over time and became a much more compelling character. But imagine the Ghost Rider in the early 90s series talking like Danny Ketch all the time. And being mentally Danny Ketch in his psyche. The fact that he had this other being, I think, really kind of cemented the fact that there was something you don't want to trifle with. This is a being who wants to punish your indiscretions when you're a bad person, and you don't know his mysterious origin. There's something there that's odd about it. And I always found that compelling about the 90s series, but I digress. I go on and on. There's a sequence here where the Ghost Rider grabs one of the avatars of Satan, and he creates a fireball, tosses it in the air, and just blasts it. Stuff like that is such a great moment to see these various powers and how he's able to dispose of the beings. Now, the beings are getting stronger. Every time they're getting killed, they're getting stronger. And they're not above betraying each other either, as evidenced by these issues. They can stab each other in back, and every less avatar that there is, the other avatars are becoming more powerful. So when Blaze gets the very last one, it's going to be almost insurmountable to beat him. So that's sort of the premise there. But the fact that, you know, he blasts him the fireball is just a fun scene. I got to say, though, some of the cons, and I talked about this with some of our listeners as well, the covers are very vague. They don't really tell a lot about what's going on. And most fans would probably not care about that, but I miss the days where there was some plot elements on the cover really get you invested. The art's not bad, don't get me wrong. It's, you know, Tex and Saltara's, but just seeing that is just, you know, I wish there was a little bit more to it. It's just very general. The pacing, though, is all over the place with the issues, you know what I mean? So the Jack Daniels is like basically Freddy Krueger and Spawn if they had a kid sort of thing. That's a weird thing having him back in, but I get it. You know, Lucifer is just looking for these deceased people to just run amok with and cause problems. And behind the scenes, you'd have to imagine the Ghost Rider is, you know, getting very tired of this because he's had to hunt down 666 avatars so far. So he's probably getting really tired of this game and looking forward to this having to develop a plan to finish the very last one. One criticism that can be leveled at Daniel Way for this series itself is that I don't think he knew the amount of issues he was going to be given for this, and because it seemed like they were really taking their time with the avatars early on, and then they realized, oh crap, we have 600 avatars to kill in the next 5 issues. What are we going to do? So they were really kind of racing against the clock to squeeze that in, and in the past few issues before this, it didn't really work because suddenly, you know, they had all these side tangents with Hulk and all these other moments that just didn't really work. And each issue is only taking out maybe one avatar at most. Suddenly he's having to take out hundreds. So that doesn't work as a plot device overall. But I've said that in previous episodes of the show. So I gotta say, even with the series itself, the pacing of the series itself, not just the issues, is not consistent. You know, so that was something that could have been fine-tuned along the way. Dixie's return from her scene in issue 2. You know, I like having her in the series, but it's too little too late. Having her in there is not really believable. You know, I thought she was sort of forgotten about at the end of those early issues, and suddenly she's back. So that seems like kind of, you know, not a deus ex machina, but suddenly she's there with really no reason for her to be. You know, how do they get in touch with each other? Blaze doesn't even have a phone. How do they get in touch with each other? I don't really know, but she's there. And, you know, she's part of the plan because he needs some help with that. The angels are interesting. Mal and Vraniel. It's a bit derivative of the angels that appeared in Road to Damnation, who are Malachi and Daniel. Seeing that, this is only about a year and a half removed from Road to Damnation, I thought that was sort of a little too close for comfort. These two angels with their own kind of dark agenda kind of thing was a little too on the nose for me. And I'm not even going to go into the fact that they grow so fast, and Darlene's got the clothes for them, no problem. You know, she's got the baby clothes, and she has clothes for an adult when they grow up. So, I mean, that was kind of silly. But, you know, overall, I mean, I got to say that with all the complaints that have leveled at the series so far, 15 and 16, many fans are going to disagree with me on this. I'm going to give it 3 or 3.5 flaming skulls out of 5 because of what these issues seem to do right. So I'm going to put that out there. The later issues in this leading up to Revelations might not be as high, but I'm going to say 3.5 flaming skulls out of 5 for 15 and 16. All right, guys, last but not least, we have Ghost Rider issue 19 from the 1970s, written, in quotes, by Tony Isabella and Frank Robbins, with Jim Shooter as an assist. Basically, we have, this is, so issue 19, we have gloating over an apparently defeated Johnny Blaze. The Challenger reveals himself to be archdemon, servant of Satan, claiming that Satan has owned Blaze's soul all along, and that all of Johnny's struggles have been futile. Blaze almost surrenders his soul, but instead turns into the Ghost Rider and fights back. Blaze races through a volcanic obstacle course created by his foe, then battles the Challenger, again, gradually realizing that much of Challenger's power is illusory, and depends largely on Johnny's belief in it. No longer scared, Johnny, the Ghost Rider, defeats Challenger, who vanishes into a puff of smoke. Johnny returns to the hospital, where he is overjoyed to learn that the recovered Katie Milner was actually Roxanne Simpson all along, mystically trapped in the Milner identity of the demon Inferno. Karen Page, upset by this reunion, runs back to the studio in tears, where Stuntmaster knocks her out and delivers her to Deathhead. And that's where this issue ends. And just a FYI for fans, if you're following along with reading the story, if you were just pick up Ghost Rider issue 20 after this, there's actually a book that takes place in between to tell some of the story. It's actually going to be Daredevil issue 138 from 1976 that tells more about the Deathstalker, the Deathhead, that kind of character. So there is a story in between. We'll be tackling that on the show moving forward, but just keep an eye on that. If you're going right to 20, there is a story in between, so check that out. This is a tough one, guys. Sweet jumping catfish, as Johnny Blaze would say. How to even approach this one? This one has a lot of behind-the-scenes shenanigans that were alleged to have taken place. It's not my role to cast judgment on the editors at Marvel, the writers, but what happened was Tony Isabella wrote this story. A lot of the art was finished, and it sounds like things were changed right before release. Jim Shooter was involved with the changes. We don't know if it was his idea. He was asked to. Like I said, that's not my role to judge things that happened so many years ago. But just know, fans, that this story is not what it was meant to be. This was intended, from what I understand, was going to be the revelation of the friend truly being Jesus Christ. And, you know, Johnny Blaze was going to be keeping the Ghost Rider power moving forward, but kind of a born-again Christian sort of thing. So there was going to be a little bit more of a religious element to the story. And if you read the letters to the editor, some fans were embracing that and some fans were not. There were a lot of fans who were saying, thank God, Lucifer is going to be out of this story pretty soon. And some fans were saying, hey, listen, you can't have Ghost Rider without Lucifer or the hell elements. So there's a lot of back and forth. So definitely, giving a little context on where readers' minds were at back then, check out the letters to the editor for some of these books. Pretty interesting stuff. But yeah, so a lot of the pages and panels in this were kind of reconfigured. They were rewritten a bit so that revelation of Jesus being in it as a friend was going to be a hoax. So that has changed a lot so that all along Satan has been in charge. Now, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I understand why they wanted to keep it the status quo the way it was, not bring Jesus more firmly into the story. I get it, but what my former co-host Chris and I used to always talk about is Marvel editors shouldn't have let it get to this point anyway. If there was an idea that Isabella was going to put forth saying, this is where I see Blaze going forward, and I'm going to be moving him away from the supernatural into superheroics, that's fine, but you know, an editor's job usually is to catch this stuff early on and say, hey, listen, this is not our vision for the character moving forward. what can we work on together and figure out a compromise sort of thing. So this issue is really not well regarded amongst fans because it's kind of a mess. It's all over the place. Robin's had to redraw pages at the last second. And it's a controversial end for Isabella's run, who was doing so well, in my opinion, leading up to this in the last several issues. Of course, he went on to write many other famous things after this, Black Lightning and stuff like that. But, you know, honestly, it's a really frustrating issue for many fans, a real low point for the early Blaze series in many people's eyes. It's not a complete zero. I mean, there's a few elements that I didn't mind about it. You know, Blaze, he has a can't give up attitude, and he uses his cycle skills to defeat the Challenger and the emissary of Satan. So, first of all, the emissary and the Challenger, they didn't know who it was going to be. That kept on changing, so that was a little strange. But the fact that Blaze had to use his human skills as a stunt rider to avoid all these issues is very telling of that era, and he had to use his cycle skills a lot during this era. You don't see that nearly as much nowadays where, oh, thank God I can jump the Snake Canyon. He just can't do that anymore. But back then, it was a huge deal. Evel Knievel was on the news all the time. It was, you know, it was tapping into the cultural zeitgeist of motorcycle culture at that time. So it was kind of funny seeing that, but... And of course, early on, it's sort of the opposite problem that I talked about with Zarathos and Blaze, and how nowadays it's just Blaze. Back then, it was Blaze as well, but as this series in the 80s and 70s moves on, it's going to become a little darker, and that demonic entity comes out a little further and starts really weighing on Blaze's mind and trying to assert control over that being and their shared body. And there's many times, many classic covers as well by Budiansky where they're battling, and it's, you know, they have that one body to share, and they have the two different viewpoints of what to do. But here, it's still early enough to where it's Blaze, and he's just himself. As the series progresses, and actually, I think as it improves much more to extent, you have the internal struggle, which is so compelling. So it's very interesting seeing how, depending on what issue you read, where Blaze is at, or where Ghost Rider's at with his inner struggle. But yeah, that's just, you know, that's something I did appreciate, the fact that Blaze is really depressed, but he's not giving up. He says, I still have to do the right thing and do the best I can. And he overcomes his fear, and he figures out a way to defeat him. Apparently just by punching him to death, and it worked. He just disappeared, which was kind of dumb. But overall, this issue, like I said many times just now, is a total cluster. It's not well regarded. I mean, there's a few drawn moments that are pretty good by Robbins, but overall, it's a very, very frustrating time for the character. And this is Isabella's, swan song in the series. So I gotta say, it's only a 1.5 flaming skulls out of 5 for Ghost Rider issue 19. All right, guys. So last but not least, we're going to talk a little bit about Post Riders GR. We have a lot of our listeners have sent in some of their thoughts about the issues that we tackled in tonight's show. So we'll be reading some of those briefly, and then I'll be signing off. But also, we'll be going to some voicemails that were left for us by some of the friends of the show to talk about what they felt about the issues that we talked about tonight. So as I said, we had Ghost Rider King in Black, Savage Avengers 21, Ghost Rider 15 and 16, and Ghost Rider 19. So those are the issues, as to reiterate, is what we covered tonight. So I asked a lot of our friends of the show what they thought. And this is what they kind of said. Wandering Artist, at Brand O New Serial, one of our longtime listeners, says, King in Black was a great ending to a very short-lived series. Kudos to Brisson for tying it all up and leaving the characters on a good note. All I remember from issues 15 and 16 from the 2000s was rough exposition and the start of a weird story arc that sets up Jason Aaron's run. Way too convoluted. Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, at Let's Talk Robbie, another friend of the show, the King in Black tie-in made me realize how much I miss Ed Brisson's work on Ghost Rider. And I wish we could have seen a huge battle against Lilith, but I was still impressed at how Brisson wrapped everything up in just one issue. It shows just how good of a writer that he is. We have Christopher Frenny at Stuff I Should Say on Twitter, says, I give The King in Black a 9 out of 10. I enjoy getting a finale, seeing some closure on Johnny and Danny. Juan's art was killer. Glad Marvel found a way to sneak it in, as it didn't really feel connected to The King in Black. I hope they touch on Mephisto soon, though. Shameless plug. And he plugged AIPTcomics.com, and he reviewed King in Black. So great feedback there. Thank you so much for that. All right, guys. So that's some of the written post writers GR reviews that were sent to us. If you guys want to interact with the show and send us some of your feedback of the program, all you got to do is write to us on Twitter. We're on @InnerDemonsGR on Twitter, and use the hashtag PostWritersGR to tag us. And I search that before every episode to see if you guys have any thoughts on the issues that we are reviewing. You guys are my co-hosts right now. You guys are the fan feedback that I'm looking for, because I might like an issue, but you guys might not, and I want to know why. I want to get that dialogue going. With the way I'm recording nowadays, I'm running solo, and I'm just recording in between many things going on in my life right now. So it's tough for me to get an episode recorded, but having the Ghost Riders GR hashtag in there for you guys to, you know, respond back and forth to me, get a good dialogue going, is really makes it worth it. It really makes this fantastic, because otherwise, without you guys, it's just noise. It's just me talking into an echo chamber. So super appreciate that. Last but not least, like I said, I will plug the contest once more. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I should say, Google Podcasts, or any other place you find us, and then 5-star review and send us hashtag GR50. That's to get entered into the 50-issue contest giveaway that's going to be happening in several months. Hopefully, you know, I think by the end of the year or in January for the 50th anniversary, that's when we're going to be ending the contest. So you have a little bit of time, but leave us a review. That's going to help us to be found on other people's feeds and stuff like that. So please do that. And once you do, send us a screenshot to @InnerDemonsGR, and that way we know that you entered into the contest. So right now, it is currently open to U.S. residents only. I apologize for that. I'm going to be sending this out myself, paying for shipping. So in the future, I would love to have an international contest for you guys, for the folks outside the U.S. But right now, it's going to be open to U.S. people only. I apologize, but stay tuned for anything in the future for international guys, okay? So last but not least, we have some people sent in their voicemail reviews for Post Writers GR. So we have Ray from Into the Night sent us a voicemail. We have a voicemail from David Finn from Signal of Doom, another collective member, just like Ray. Really great friend of the show, both of those guys. So thank you for that. And @GhostWriterUK, our friend Ben, he sent us a review as well for Ghost Rider 15. So guys, stay tuned for that. We're going to play some of those right now. Thank you guys so much. That's the end of the episode, and I really hope you enjoyed. We will see you next time on Inner Demons, the Ghost Rider podcast. Take care, guys. Bye.
Hello, Brian, the Bone Man, Biggie. I'm just dropping in some thoughts for King in Black, Ghost Rider. That was the most recent, or the most recent issue, I guess, that you're reviewing in this episode. I'm hoping to drop in some others as well for you. But this one by Ed Brisson. Look, first of all, I just want to say a big shout out, big props to the artist. Let me just grab his name. Really, really enjoyed it. Just immediately quite striking. The art, Frigeri. Juan Frigeri. Very good. So I really enjoyed the way he depicted Mephisto. Johnny Blaze as well. And of course the symbiotes. And actually Blackheart. Blackheart was pretty cool. Gave him a bit more of a physically imposing look, bit of a bruiser rather than having that kind of horror tinge, which was his classic kind of depiction. Anyway, this story I thought was great. It was good to finally look. I've been on and off Ghost Rider, so I've missed a few things. But the last time I touched base, Johnny Blaze was, you know, still hell bent, no pun intended, on ruling hell. So it's good to see that he's kind of gotten out of that funk, and he's trying to do good now, and he's dragging Mephisto everywhere. Basically, this story was really cool. It was a really nice tie-in to King in Black, and again, I hadn't been following that event other than the tie-ins. So I felt this was good. I mean, of course, it had it on the cover, King in Black, but it kind of worked very strongly as a Ghost Rider story. Of course, written by Ed Brisson. The ideas of Lilith, trying to raise hell, of course, and the solution being to bring Mephisto back down to hell, I thought was very interesting because, I mean, as Johnny said, it went against everything he had kind of worked towards. He kind of had to give it away for the greater good, so to speak, because of Null. And I thought that was a really nice kind of twist. It was dealt with, I mean, like it was addressed by Johnny Blaze and the others. I just found that really, really cool because you kind of are like shaking a fist at Mephisto just kind of gleefully departing and going back to hell where he wanted to go. It was kind of like annoyingly fun in that regards. I'm not sure if this has come up time and again with the new iteration of Danny Ketch as Death Rider or Necrosis. I can't say I'm a real fan. I can't see any lasting power for that, for the look and all. It's just a bit weird. It just seems a bit like randomly out there. It doesn't seem to tie in with, the aesthetic of the overall Supernatural and Ghost Rider motifs. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Danny Ketch, I'm glad that he's back, but I'm hoping maybe this Death Rider thing will pass. But it was good to see him anyway. And it was good to see that ragtag bunch of, the Caretaker? Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze and Blackheart actually kind of like fighting their way through the demons. I enjoyed this. It was a nice continuation, I think, of the issues of the Ed Brisson run that I've read. I think I've read all of them. I can't remember. It's been a while. But yeah, I enjoy this quite well. And that little thing at the end, you kind of saw it coming. Mephisto taking a bit of the symbiote. Of course he's going to use it for some sinister means towards the end. Also as well, just finally, a little bit of graphic violence. You know, you got to love it for Ghost Rider. That cabbie just gets a clawed hand through his chest from one of the demons. And again, demons looking very good. Very well drawn by Frigieri. I'd give this a really top mark. I'd give us a B+ or an A. Really enjoyed it. Interesting to hear what the more seasoned Ghost Rider fans would think of the depictions. I'm wondering if it was a good issue for you guys. But yeah, anyway, I'll be listening. Thank you. Hello, Inner Demons. Just leaving my thoughts for just read Savage Avengers 21. Featuring Conan and Ghost Rider. Now this I thought would be a really cool matchup. Two titans of the game. And I had read the first few issues or so of Savage Avengers. I really liked it. I've heard it actually had gotten even better as it went along. And I do like Jerry Duggan's writing. As for this issue, it was okay. The art was nice as well. Nothing much really happened in a nutshell. I guess it's mistaken identity. Which could all have been avoided if both Ghost Rider and Conan, well, more so Ghost Rider, wasn't so cavalier in his attitude and just kind of attacking Conan. Sure, he kind of sensed a Corn Guth around him, I guess, but Conan was trying to tell him that he's not the enemy, but they still fought anyway. So it was a kind of a bit of a throwaway issue. It was cool to see a Ghost Rider of old on top of a giant spider. I thought that was great. But really not much happened here for me other than the good artwork again. Ghost Rider was looked pretty cool in it, and so did Conan as well. I like both of them. Nothing much here. So I'd give this probably a C. It was really not much of an issue. Anyway, keen to hear your thoughts. Catch up.
Hey folks, Dave here from Signal of Doom, and it's a pleasure to be giving a review for Inner Demons with Brian Biggie, one of the gods of the collective and one of the court jesters of the collective as well. Now, I was asked by Brian to review Savage Avengers 21 due to my love of Conan and my love of Ghost Rider. And I was happy to see that it was the original Ghost Rider, Blaze. I thought it was Johnny Blaze. I asked Brian after I read it, was it Blaze? And it was, and that's, I'm glad about that, and I'm glad that it went back to kind of like the classic suit. I'm not a Ghost Rider expert, but I do enjoy Ghost Rider, so it was fantastic to see that. Now, in terms of this title, I have read a few issues here and there for the Signal of Doom, and I do like Jerry Duggan, and frankly, it's probably surprising I'm not reading it, but it's just the sheer weight of material. But checking in, very happy to see. I'm not a huge fan of Conan in the Modern World, but I am happy to see that he was ensconced in the Hellfire Club mansion. I'm looking at it now. I see with two girls under the fur rug. Fantastic. Liked the scene with Emma Stone. I thought that was actually really strong. Not as huge a fan of Conan having sort of like a symbiote. Only because Conan hates all that kind of stuff, but I get that's the story. Overall, a very competent issue. Probably could have done with more of the writer. When he turns up, I was like, sweet. I didn't really get the inner workings of the comic. Like, I don't know which god or which sorcerer is which, but it was interesting. And I liked the writer. I'm looking at the writer here cycling up the building. That was a cool scene. If anything, it makes me want to say get Jerry Duggan on a Blaze title. He seems to get it. I really also liked when Conan flashed back to a rider in Hyborian times, which is Conan's, you know, sort of, you know, medieval times or whatever they are. And you saw him on the back of like a massive, is it like a spider? And I was going to ask Brian, is that a Ghost Rider you guys have seen before? I wouldn't know. I know there was a Ghost Rider way back in like Avengers 50 BC or something on a mammoth from memory, which we covered on the Signal. I didn't quite understand why they were fighting. Conan goes, I'm not your enemy, Rider. And then he says, so you say, but in my nightmares, I see you serve Gath, who I assume is the sorcerer who's infected him or whatever. But it was cool. We saw the Rider. I love the penance stare, and it looked cool. But then it did something to the Rider, and I'd love to get Brian's views on what that actually meant. I loved it when Conan kind of like gets in his eyeballs. I'll do no penance for false gods. That was cool. And then it wound up and he was back in Aquilonia, which is kind of like almost like the Roman version of the society back in Hyborian times, like the main empire. It's the empire that Conan eventually becomes king of. That was cool. As always, I do feel these snapshots make me wish it was released in a bigger format. I'm more and more, like I read this and I was like, that's cool. And it was and I hope Conan is back in the past now. I know they'll probably struggle to do Savage Avengers if he's back in the past, unless you bring the Avengers back to Conan's world for a little while, which I don't really like either. But if it was just one of them, like Ghost Rider, that'd be cool. A good issue. It's 7 out of 10. I think that the brevity of it counts against it. Whereas one thing it does make me want to do is go back and read Savage Avengers from the start again, because I only read the first couple. Because it has got everyone I like, you know, Wolverine, Conan, Venom. I mean, Ryder's turning up. I don't know if he's turned up before. Whoever else, I forget who else was in it. But, look, a solid issue, 7 out of 10. Jerry Duggan rarely lets the team down. And the art was good without being my favourite version of Conan because I think he looks a bit small. I prefer the Buscema, bigger Conan, personally. But, you know, it is what it is. 7 out of 10, I could be argued to a 7.5 if I had more context to the story. Rider was cool. I'd love to hear Brian Biggie talk about the Rider. Not just about the Rider, he does it all the time, but in this particular issue, Brian, let's focus in, let's dial in. And I also do want to say thank you for inviting me onto your show. We'd love to do a duet, Two Gods, One Game, with Signal and Inner Demons at some point, if we can just get that, you know, it's almost like planning a NATO peace conference or something. It's difficult, but it can be done. We have the will, we have the firepower, we have the weapons. Thank you.
Hello, Inner Demons. Just leaving in some feedback for the Daniel Way double issues up for review, issues 15 and 16. Very interesting period, I guess, here for Ghost Rider. A lot of action for this. These two issues, obviously part of a greater whole. But
Yeah, I guess this will be like an interesting point of discussion. I know that the Daniel Way run potentially isn't received that well by a lot of the Ghost Rider fans, but taking these two at face value, there are a lot of new things that are popping up. So we got that kind of like immaculate conception of the two angels, and kind of their introduction, I think, into the storyline, and I guess they're helping Ghost Rider, but we don't know how yet. So they were birthed from a very young, I guess you get a really quick introduction, this was prior to 15 and 16, of that girl. You have Johnny Blaze and some truckie who, you know, having a bit of a rendezvous. She finds like a dead body in her rig. And also, yeah, the fun that is Jack Daniels, and wanting to blow up the whole stadium. Bring your family. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event. All deliciously evil. And it was, I guess, the violence. I'd have to point out the bits where Ghost Rider dismembers an older gentleman who's possessed, and then proceeds to King Hit. An elderly lady who's also possessed, those sorts of things, you know, you don't get in any other comics. So I kind of enjoyed that, because it's just like really over the top stuff. But yeah, setting up some stuff here, I guess, of now Ghost Rider having to track down that camp contingency of the little leagues. And yes, so things are rollicking here. But, yeah, very interesting take. I'll have to get reacquainted. I did read the whole Daniel Way run probably about a year ago or something. And so I've kind of forgotten bits of it. But I'm interested to hear what others think of this issue and these issues. Anyway, I'll keep it to that. But, yeah, gotcha.
Brian, thank you so much for having me back on the podcast with the Post Writers segment, and this time I am reviewing Ghost Rider number 15 by Daniel Way, with art by Javier Salteres, and boy, what a book. This is very much a setup issue for it's the second book in the Revelation story arc, and it therefore has an awful lot of kind of plot points that it's putting down, which means that the book it's covering an awful lot of ground. You need to dispel all logic with this book, because it has none. So let's start off with the revelation that Darlene, that was introduced in the previous book, the cheesy smelling, greasy haired, bedroom dwelling teenager, has woken up 9 months pregnant with the angels that are trying to get back into heaven. They've chosen of all the people on the planet, they've chosen Darlene as their vessel, and she is now sort of 9 months pregnant with that. We immediately go for the introduction of the new owner of the Buffalo Geoducks, the well-known American football team. He's mysterious looking, he's evil looking, but normally I would always say never judge a book by its cover. It can get you, your misconceptions can get you into some social trouble, and it's, you know, you've got to judge a person by their character. Unfortunately, mysterious, evil looking CEO Jack Daniels is also mysterious looking and evil, therefore very much being the book and its cover. Not a big shock. Immediately we move on to Johnny, who's woken up next to this beautiful trucker lady, and he hasn't got any time to waste. He can see Jack Daniels' announcement that he's the new owner on the screen. He knows who this guy is. He knows where he's seen him before. He's seen those evil eyes before, and immediately he's got to leave. So he leaves Dixie hanging in the motel, and then he drives off at pace, because obviously he knows exactly what's going to happen here. However, he's confronted by all our kind of weakness, and the Ghost Rider's ultimate foe, rush hour traffic, where he can battle demons and all those kind of things, but nope, He's at the mercy of traffic, like all of us. We feel his pain, and this is how we can really connect with the Ghost Rider in this issue, because we've all been there, where we need to be somewhere quick. We need to save the world, but everyone's trying to get home from work. Darlene then, Fump, has these twins, and she's got to get down to a baby gap. These kids are at least 18 months old. There's been a lot happening overnight, and she's given birth to two clear toddlers. I have kids myself. I'm fairly sure I've seen what newborn babies look like. Yeah, these kids are starting school next year, so she's done well. No blood, it says, but there's going to be some bruising, I would suspect. However, she's fine, so no need to worry. And obviously, the two angels now have now on Earth to try and save the day as well, and that sets up for later on in the book. We go back to evil, mysterious Jack Daniels, who has two associates. He's employed them. He's had interviews. He's got a full structure of clearly a corporate business going on. Fair play to the guy, because he's set that up pretty quickly. And the aides are shocked that actually their evil intending boss turns out to be evil, and he plans to do two things. One, he plans to rip off shareholders by losing lots of money by offering everyone in the stadium free snacks and beer, and then his intentions are revealed that he actually wants to blow them up. So a double evil whammy by this version, this incarnation of the devil. So Johnny is then making his way through the traffic. He heads over to the building, and we do get a really cool kind of panel here where you see the fire rushing across the windows. All the windows are kind of exploding in. And that is a cool visual, because we've all sort of have seen him driving across the front of buildings and stuff. It is a cool little Ghost Rider thing. And he arrives in the office, but the devil knew he was planning this, and obviously to raise the stakes, not only has he now got this stadium that he's wanting to blow up, he has held hostage a softball little league team who are now locked somewhere, and Johnny now has this conundrum. Does he save the little league team, or is he going to have to save the stadium full of people? And we end on a panel of a really good panel, actually. It's a one pager with the flaming skull of Johnny, who's clearly in a little bit of a predicament, and that is where this particular issue ends. Boy, what an issue. Yeah, there's a lot to go on. I can't say that I was a huge fan of this particular arc. It seemed to have lost its way a little bit with what it was trying to do. I think that it was the premise of kind of hunting down the devil and its, you know, and his 666 incarnations was a good one, but then you've got to try and hunt down 666 incarnations, and it's got a slightly convoluted, it's convoluted in one sense, because we've got the separate story of these angels who are trying to get back into heaven, and then we have got the devil, which is a paper thin characterization of evil, where it's not as if there is anything particularly deep-seated or duplicitous that is going on. It is just straight kind of, oh, he looks evil, he is evil, and he's doing some evil things which aren't even, then it's not very deep-rooted with anything, and there's a tremendous amount of liberty taken with common sense, logic and storytelling in this one. So I can't say I'm a massive fan. So in terms of flaming skulls, this is probably a 2 flaming skulls out of 5. I feel a little bit bad considering that we've got Tex and Salteras on the book. The artwork is good. I just feel it's been coloured in by some kids, I think. I'm not entirely sure who they passed this to. It just feels a little bit rushed, and it just doesn't seem to have the same love that we've previously seen on their books. So there's, I think there's a fair bit going on with this one, and yeah, it was a shame. It's a shame to revisit it, really. And apologies that this is 8 minutes of your life that you're not going to be able to get back either. So not one to revisit, I would say. So Brian, thank you very much. Continue the fantastic work on the podcast, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the episode and the rest of the reviews. Take care.
Hi Brian, I'm wanting to drop my thoughts for the 70s Ghost Rider Must Die issue 19. I'll try to keep this short because I want to leave feedback for all those issues that you're going to review, and I just did one for King in Black and it's a bit long, so unless you want another half an hour added to the show, I'll keep everything else quite brief. This was a cool issue. Look, I haven't read much of the original Ghost Rider run. It's very much of its time. It's fun. I love comics of this era. I read a lot of comics, other titles around this era as well. So it was good to see Ghost Rider depicted in this, and what better way than to go up against Satan himself. Love the idea of, and again, it's not, you know, it's not an original idea, but the idea that the devil's power is fed off, you know, your own kind of fear and stuff. So it's great that Johnny Blaze kind of gets his power back, so to speak, and he retains it. I think that's a big takeaway for this. So he manages to defeat the devil, but at the same time he feels, you know, bigger and stronger as Ghost Rider. You know, I guess they even admit as well that there's some rules to hell, which is a bit weird that even they have to adhere to, like, you know, the likes of why did he give me this power? You know, if he mentioned something about why did the devil do that when... Yeah, anyway, those sorts of kind of logic for fighting against the devil. But really enjoyed it. I like the aesthetic of this classic Ghost Rider. And Roxanne's back, so a big one there. But yeah, I'd enjoyed it. You know, a good B- or a B. It was enjoyable. Yes, and again, I don't know the ins and outs of how it affects the overall canon, but I'll leave that to the more seasoned fans. Anyway, it was a real treat to read. Catch up.